And cover and keep that beautiful sunrise in mind. Welcome to worship at Little Sitar Church of the Brethren. It's a joy to see everybody here. There was an announcement this morning. Does anyone remember what it was? Elaine made an announcement.
About the $500,000 that we want to raise for...
A small amount of money. The BDM, do they call that Brethren Disaster Ministries? They're trying to raise, they sent $35,000 to the Philippines for the, like, an immediate response to the flooding. But their goal is to send $500,000, which is a pretty big goal. $750,000, wow, the goal keeps getting bigger. Is that due to everybody's response and that we're really... meeting their goal? I don't think so. The need apparently is very great. If you don't know how to contribute to BDM, you could contribute here. I guess our financial people would love to have another special fund that they can write a check to. I'm not sure who to refer them to. Other than just mark it on your offering envelope or on your check to go to Brethren Disaster Ministries in response to the Philippine flooding. There was another announcement that kind of came to my mind. This week is Tuesday is the transition meeting that the new people coming into ministry teams will be are invited to this meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening, where we'll go over this little booklet that has lots of useful information. So if you're newly called to a ministry team, come be there at 7 o'clock. If you're on a ministry team for next year, also come and we'll go through the book. I guess we'll move into the time of sharing of joys and concerns. We need a I'm looking at the 8:15 service. Hang on a second. Yeah, joys and concerns. Is there an usher to bring a mic out for us? Oh, we got Ken is here. Thank you very much. We have one in the back. I think I'll ask Bob to share the concerns from earlier then.
I'd like to ask for prayer requests for Rufus Markey. He injured his knee this week. He's on crutches. We have no idea what's the matter yet.
Okay. Yeah, it's a joy to see the grandkids here. I think that might be it. Bob, do you want to share those?
Yeah, we had this week, we had folks in the hospital in three different counties and four different hospitals. Dorothy Renninger, I think, is still in Reading Medical Center. And Neil Stoop was supposed to have come home from St. Joe's. Does anybody know if Neil came home? He's here. He was at Sunday school. Okay, so he's definitely home. Yeah, Dennis Bross was also supposed to come home from Hershey Medical Center this week. They were preparing to discharge him to his home, and his family was getting the home ready. And the evening before he was supposed to come home, they discovered some infection in his foot, and he's scheduled for amputation tomorrow. Now, you know how difficult it is to, on the one hand, deal with the reality of our sickness, but on the other hand, still have a sense of hope that God can bring healing. And so Dennis has kind of struggled through that, and I think he's accepted the possibility that he's going to lose his foot and have a prosthetic appliance at some point in the healing process. But he is also is holding out the hope that God can heal him. And so this evening at 7 o'clock, we're doing an anointing service there. So if you think about it this evening around 7 and want to lift that up in prayer, please do that. And then finally, of the in that three county area, Mary Bayshore is in Good Samaritan Hospital, anticipating transitioning into a retirement kind of a setting. So let's remember Mary in our prayers as well. And then Bob Lingle's brother Melvin, we need to continue lifting him up in our prayers. And I have a Carolyn Bayshore. What's the concern there? Anybody remember? It says clear career.
It's a young, it's Wendy's cousin. She's 16 and she has cancer and she's getting treatments.
Okay. Okay. So, and then also we need to continue to lift up Tim Reinhart, who is home from the hospital, actually was home from the hospital last Sunday, but still hoping to hold on to his foot as well because of the infection. Yes, Linda. Oh, yeah, and somebody mentioned that in Sunday school, that Anna Mary Meyer has shingles. And so let's lift Anna Mary up in our prayers as well. What was that? Oh, Bonnie Bainey, yeah. Anyone else? Great. Wonderful. Thank you. So we'll lift those up in a prayer time a bit later in our service.
And I would encourage everyone to set a reminder that at 7 o'clock tonight that you would be remembering Dennis in prayer. And we know that you hear of power in prayer. The power isn't really in the prayer. The power is in God's hands, and God is able. God does want us to come with our petitions. So let's please remember Dennis at 7 o'clock tonight as they'll be doing the anointing. We have a hymn, I Know Not Why, God's Wondrous Grace, hymn number 338.
Thank you.
remain standing for the litany of praise from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. You may be seated.
I gave us an assignment to try to be observant about the things that God is doing in your life through the week and come prepared today to speak to that. And as I was thinking about that assignment, I came upon this song that that I'd like us to sing. And so I'd like to teach it. And so if you could project the words and listen to the first verse, and it's pretty simple. The early service folks picked it up really, really quickly. This is how it goes.
Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see.
Let's try that. Open my eyes.
Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see.
Let's move to the second verse.
Open my ears, Lord. Help me to hear your voice. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to hear. Open my heart, Lord. Help me to love like you. Open my heart, Lord. Help me to love.
And then there's a fourth verse that you don't have in your music.
Open my lips, Lord. Help me to speak your praise. Open my lips, Lord. Help me to speak.
And here's where you have an opportunity to speak your praise. And this can be just brief. We won't worry about bringing the mic around to folks. But what do you have to say? What praise do you have to speak about how God has been at work in your life throughout this past week? Don't you all speak at once. Amen.
Praise God for spending some time with our three granddaughters.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God for the wonderful weather we have.
Praise God.
Church and the lovely people in here and for the rain and the rain.
Praise God. That's pretty easy to praise God for that.
Praise God for health and strength.
Praise God.
How about for things that we can't handle on our own, God sees us through?
Praise God. One more?
Praise God for all the healing he has done.
Amen. Praise God for all the healing he's done. Let's just do that last verse again. Open, this is a verse that I wrote after I gave you the song on Wednesday, okay? But it's, open my lips, Lord, help me to speak your praise. Open my lips, Lord, help me to speak.
Open my lips, Lord, help me.
Okay, we're going to pray now, and then at the end of our prayer, I think we'll do one more verse, open my heart, after we pray together. Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful. Lord, you know us. We're sort of Pennsylvania Dutch Christians who would much rather take something in our hand and do it for you and for others than verbalize it. And so we find it a little more difficult to find our voice to speak your praise. We'd rather show it by helping folks in the Philippines and other places. Nevertheless, Lord, you've given us a voice, and you've invited us to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And so thank you for those this morning who have given voice to the praise that they feel, for all of the healing that you've done, Lord, for your presence here among us, God, for life that is so often shrouded in mystery, and yet even when the fog is so thick that we don't know if we're going north, south, east, or west, you're there in the midst of us to take us by the hand, to lead us beside still waters and into green pastures. So thank you, God. We praise you and we bless you. And we're grateful, Lord, for the generous response that we know has already been issued for the typhoon survivors in the Philippines. Lord, what a devastating last 10 days or so it's been for those folks there. There's been tremendous loss of life, but not a loss of hope. And we pray that you'd help us to reach out so that they would continue to hope, to know that there's support from friends around the world. Bless our efforts there. And Lord, there are many who are in need of a touch of healing. We think of Dennis Bross, who needs a touch from you, who needs more than just a light touch, but needs a pretty big miracle to save this foot. But God, we believe you're in the miracle business and you're able to do that. And so we turn to you for healing in his life. And we pray that you'd be with Tim Reinhardt, who also is facing the potential of the loss of a limb, and pray that you'd be with him and bring healing and wholeness to him. We pray for Bob Lingle's brother, Melvin. We pray for the young woman, Carolyn. We pray for Mary Bayshore. We pray for Rufus Murky. We pray for Anna Mary Meyer. We pray for Bonnie Bainey. Lord, these are all names of persons who are near and dear to us and who need a touch of healing, who need some encouragement, who need to sense your loving arms wrapped around them. And we pray, God, that they would sense your presence in their lives, and that they would know that they know that they know that you love them, that you're for them, that you're not against them. We celebrate with Matt the progress that his dad has made and pray that you'd continue to be with him, continue to bless him, and bring about healing and wholeness in his life. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for Jesus, who came not only to save us from our sin, but to show us the way to live a life that is abundant, full, so much more than we could even imagine and certainly deserve. So we thank you for Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Open my heart, Lord,
my heart.
Help me to see, like you. Open my heart, Lord. Help me to love.
Let's do that again. Open my heart. Help me to love like you.
Open my heart, Lord. Help me to love like you. Open my heart, Lord. Help me.
And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.
It seems like a tall order to love like God does. He's not like us. We're not like him. It's a lot to live up to. Chapter 13 in Corinthians is all about love, and when we when the quartet sang down at I forget which church, Elko Bible Church, there's a song that we sing that includes a prayer, and that week I was moved to include portions of that chapter in the prayer that I prayed during that song. And instead of doing love is patient, love is kind, I was putting God is patient, God is kind. And God is way better than we could ever be, but it's what we would aspire to be. So it's a tall order, but we can learn to love like God loves. Now is our time to bring our tithes and our offerings. Let's do so. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for being the author of love, for the many things that we have yet to learn. We pray that you would fill us with your love and let your love overflow from our hearts as we share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is kind of a long one, so bear with me. It's from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth.
All of God's children are created with love. And by that, I don't mean that like a grandma who bakes cookies for her grandchildren, she does them with love. No, we are created with love. The Bible says, God is love. And so what does God, who is love, use as the material to create his children? Love. We are created as children of God with love, created with love. Now, I used to go by Lancaster Malleable. No, it's no longer there, just north of Lancaster on Route 72. But I used to go by there all the time and had kind of a rancid smell to it, and wondered what they did inside of Lancaster Malleable. And then I knew someone who worked there and discovered that they made hammerheads and axe heads and all sorts of things out of metal. And the process that they would use is they would use sand molds, that the molders would go in every morning, and they had a floor that was covered with sand. And on that sand floor, they would make the molded shapes into which the molten metal would be poured. They had these blast furnaces, you know, that would melt the the ores, and they would become metals, and then someone would pull a big vat of this molten metal over to the molder, and the molder would the vat would sort of tip over, and in each of these impressions in the sand, these molds in the sand, was ladled the metal that would form the axe head or the hammer head or some other metal part. Now, these needed to be created with some uniformity, and yet each one was unique because each one was separately poured. It wasn't on some assembly line where a robotic arm did exactly the same thing each time. There was uniformity, and yet there was uniqueness. And that's the way it is with the children of God. We are each uniquely, wonderfully made as children of God. And yet the material that is used to make us is the love of God poured into our lives. Our bone and our flesh is the mold into which God pours his love to create within us children of God. Now, a lot of times we don't get that. I mean, intellectually we may understand it, but we don't get it. And one of the persons historically that didn't get it was someone who became pretty well known for his religiosity. His name was Martin Luther. Martin Luther, as a young man, really struggled with a sense of inadequacy. And he thought the only way he could overcome this sense of inadequacy would be to serve God. And so he volunteered to serve in the rigorous lifestyle of a monk. But that didn't fill up this sense of inadequacy that he had. And he thought, well, maybe he just needs to do the worst, most awful, dirty jobs that nobody else is willing to do. If he could do that, maybe that would somehow fill this sense of inadequacy that he had. And so he volunteered to clean latrines. This was before modern plumbing, folks. This is not a job that you want to have. And yet Martin Luther volunteered to clean latrines for a bunch of men. It didn't feel the sense of inadequacy that he had. And one day he was looking at this passage from Romans chapter 12, and he came upon this line that said, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, not by the demeaning things that we're willing to do for our God, hoping that our sense of inadequacy will be filled. But we are justified not by what we do, but we are justified only by what God has done. And when we have faith in what God has done, then we have," Paul says, "peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then this little passage, which is one of my favorites, he ends in verse 5 by saying, "Because God's love has been poured into our hearts." There you have it. God's love has been poured into us through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We are justified not by anything that we do. You can go out and convert to Amish faith right after church today and try to take on the most rigorous lifestyle you possibly can and volunteer to muck out the stalls as an act of service for God. It won't get you one inch closer to the kingdom. It's not about what you and I can do. It is about what God in Jesus Christ has already done. And we can appropriate that into our lives only by faith. God has poured his love into us. We receive that infilling, that impouring by faith. All of God's children are created by love, with love. And we're created to love. We're created not just so that we can be these little marionettes, you know, that God can play with and have us dance around and do everything until God gets bored, like our children get bored, and throw that away and go back in and start playing with pots and pans again. If you, doesn't that infuriate you? As a parent, you know, you spend your hard-earned money to get this gift that your child is always talking about because they see that commercial 20 times a day on television, and they play with it for 5 minutes and go back to the pots and pans, or, you know, the what? The boxes. Yeah, oh, that's right. You lived before pots and pans. Yeah, I forgot that we have a multi-generation... I only say things like that to people that I really, really love. And, yeah. So, we're created to love. We're created to show others what it means to live a life of love. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Yes, he said it. I know it's hard. You know that old poem you've heard me quote several times, "To live above with saints we love, ah, that will be grace and glory. But to live below with those we know, now that's another story." Yeah, and it's not easy. Loving isn't for wimps. It's not something that we can do in our own strength. It's only as God, as we receive the love that our loving God pours into our fleshly molds. It's only as we receive His love that we can then be outlets of the love. It's not something that we manufacture. It is a gift of God. And the way, the best thing to do with a gift is to give it away. That's why Jesus said, there's far more blessing in giving than receiving. And we discover that as parents. You know, as children, we think Christmas is all about the gifts that we get. And then as parents, we discover, no, it's all about what we're able to give. And there's such a delight. I mean, I know few things that bring as much joy to my soul than the ability to give things away. It's true. It's far more blessed to give than to receive. Now, there's a problem with being able to give love, and that is, well, let's call this problem sin. That's the one that is mentioned here in this passage. And as I worked on this sermon, I was so tempted to deal with the first part of the passage and the last part of the passage, and just skip over the whole middle part of this passage. It talks about sin, and it talks about lawlessness, and it talks about being children of the devil rather than children of God. Hey, let's just sort of skip over that and get back to love. And, you know, that's what some of our more conservative Christian friends accuse us of doing, of not dealing with judgment and justice and those kinds of issues, but only wanting to talk about the love of God. And it's true, it's difficult to reckon with the hard things that we find in scriptures. And I believe that, we have hanging on our walls our favorite scriptures, or we have the little magnets on our refrigerators that say the lovely things. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. We don't have things like rejoice when you are persecuted and be glad. You know, those aren't our favorite scriptures, because those are the hard things that we need to reckon with in our lives. And it's only when we're willing to reckon with the hard things, the verses that we're uncomfortable with, that we can really completely understand what God has come to do in our lives. There is clearly a problem with sin that we need to deal with. Mike Iaconelli, who tragically died in a car accident a couple years ago, his son Mark Iaconelli spoke at annual conference this summer. And Mike was one of the founders of Youth Specialties, a wonderful ministry for youth publishing house on the West Coast. And he writes this about the problem of sin. I live in a small rural community. There are lots of cattle ranches around here, and every once in a while, a cow wanders off and gets lost. Ask a rancher how a cow gets lost, and chances are he will reply, well, the cow starts nibbling on a tuft of green grass, and when he finishes it, he looks ahead to the next tuft of green grass and starts nibbling on that one. And then it nibbles on a tuft of green grass right next to a hole in the fence. And then it sees a tuft of grass on the other side of the fence and starts nibbling on it. And the next thing you know, the cow has nibbled its way into being lost. Americans are in the same process of nibbling their way to being lost. We keep moving from one tuft of activity to another, never noticing how far we have gone from home or how far away from the truth we have managed to end up. And I think that's so true, that none of us sets out to lead a life of sin. None of us wakes up in the morning and says, whoopee, I think I'm going to go out and sin today. Well, maybe Judy does, but the rest of us. And I love you too, Judy. Yeah, we just, but you know, we become distracted. And we, you know, we nibble on these distractions, and then we notice another one out here, and before you know it, we've stepped out through the hedge of God's protection. And we're living a life that, other than certain words that continue to be a part of our vocabulary, we live a life that's completely outside of God. Jesus told a wonderful parable to illustrate this. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he had no desire for his father to die, but he wanted his inheritance. Now, the only way you get the inheritance is wait for the dad to die, but he thought he had figured out a way to have his cake and eat it too, that his father could remain alive and he could request his inheritance. Great! He took that inheritance, and you see him, as Jesus tells the story, moving further and further and further away from everything that his father had ever wished for him, everything his father had ever hoped for him, everything his father had ever placed within his head and his heart and his soul. And he finds himself as a good little Jewish boy feeding pigs, the absolute worst thing that a good Jewish boy would ever think about doing. Far worse than cleaning the latrines in the monastery. He had never imagined in his heart of hearts that he could get that far away from his father. And thanks be to the grace of God, he woke up one day and he said, "This is ridiculous. How did I allow myself to get so far from my father?" And he decided he would head back to his father, and he would beg to be welcomed back into the household again, not as a son. He believed that he had for all time forsaken his sonship. No, he thought, if I could just go as one of my father's servants, that will be good enough for me. And so all the way home, he's rehearsing in his head what he's going to say when he sees his father. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. You see what sin does? We are no longer worthy to be called sons and daughters of the living God. Just one tuft at a time by the distractions of life. And we move outside of the protection of God's hedge of protection. All of God's children are created with love. God has poured his love into your mold. That's the only way you can become a child of God. And we are created to love one another. As difficult as it is sometimes, as much as annoying as people are sometimes. I lived in the Shenandoah Valley once, one of the most beautiful places in the world. And after living there for 3 years, I thought, you know, this would be a really great place to live if they could just do something about the people who live here. Have you discovered that? About every place that you go. A friend of mine, well, Jim Beckwith, told me one day, he said, Bob, you're looking for the perfect church, and you're going to find that just as soon as you get there, if you find it, it won't be perfect anymore. And it's true. We are created with love. We are created to love. We are created for love. We're called to be a picture of what love in action looks like. You know? That's why God sent his only son, Jesus, to give us a vivid picture of what real love looks like. You know, as I've visited in your homes, every place I go, you have pictures of your children, pictures of your grandchildren, pictures of your parents. And always, without exception, I don't think I've ever visited, well, I can't say that for certain, but it seems like that every place I visit, on the first visit, I'm always given a tour of the pictures on my way out. We love to have pictures of those we love. And I was thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great if, you know, how we carry along pictures of our, you know, of our children or of our grandchildren. We used to carry them in those folders, you know, where we'd say, oh, you have how many grandchildren? Oh, isn't that lovely? You have 3 grandchildren? And so what I did, these are all pictures of Jesus in action. The first one, and I'm going to offer this to you as a fundraiser. I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of serious too. I think this would, if something like this could be done better than just the way I did it, it'd be a really great thing to, you know, when you're on a bus beside somebody and the person sitting next to you, you know, says, oh, would you like to see a picture of my grandchildren? You know, they do one of those, you know, and you think, oh, Lord, this is going to take us till Memphis to go to see. And wouldn't it be cool to say, oh, yeah, and could I show you a picture, some pictures of my Jesus? The first one is, you know, and I've seen 20 different versions of Jesus holding a lamb, you know? Jesus, the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And the next picture is, I love this picture. I've got to get this to hang up. Because it's this poor soul who with dirt under his fingernails, dust on his flesh, with his arms wrapped around Jesus, and Jesus lovingly wrapping his arms around around him. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news." We're a good news people. We've been anointed and appointed to share good news with people. And the next one is where Jesus is kneeling down, you know, making some kind of figures in the dust. This is where the adulterous woman is brought to him. Of course, the adulterous man isn't mentioned here. I'm sure it was just an oversight on the part of the writer. That was a joke, okay? Yeah, that double standard continues to this day, and it's tragic. But, you know, they want Jesus to be the one to cast the first stone, and he turns to them and said, "Hey, let him who is without sin cast the first stone." And one by one, you could hear the stones drop in the sandy soil of Palestine. And Jesus looks up from writing in the sand and says, "Where have they all gone? Are none left to condemn you?" She said, "No." Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Listen, you and I have been given these wonderful pictures that portray what love looks like. It's a kind of love that lays down its life. It's the kind of love that doesn't launch out in condemnation. It's the kind of love that reaches out to the hungry and the thirsty and the lonely and the imprisoned and the sick with dirt under their fingernails and wraps loving arms around them. That's the kind of love with which God loves us. Oh, we've learned how to clean our fingernails before coming to church. One day, somebody's going to invent a spiritual X-ray machine. And on that day, we'll all stop coming to church because it won't help to put on our clean clothes and clean our fingernails. Listen, our lives are soiled with inadequacy, with flaws, with words, hurtful words that we've spoken. God loves us enough that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever cleans up his act and walks the straight and narrow will not, is that what it says? No, of course not. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's our job, to go out into this foggy day and be the light of Jesus and share the love of Jesus wherever we go. Let's do that today. Amen? Amen. Hey, could I make a switch again? This is 2 weeks in a row. Can you play Open My Eyes? And go ahead and sit, because the choir is going to sing a closing benediction number. But go ahead and have a seat. And if you could flash up those words again, I'm sorry to create such havoc for our folks back there. But let's go ahead and sing this together. Thank you. Lord, that's our prayer today, that you would open our eyes, that we might see Jesus, that you'd open our ears, that we might hear your voice, that you would open our hearts, that we could love like you, that you'd open our lips to both sing and speak your praise. This is our prayer as we leave this place today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.